You know, many people are anxious and full of worry, and they don't have any peace. And especially at this time of year, but with everything that's going on in the world, there's not too much peace anywhere around. There's turmoil everywhere you turn. And and I'm just not talking about in the world. I'm talking about Christians that are that just don't have any peace in their daily life. You know, now some people don't have the peace of God because they don't have Jesus as their sword and savior. And you know, hearing so much negativism and wrong information causes you to lose your sense of peace if you're not careful. You know, like we've just been away, and we like to put puzzles together. That's something we do together when we're out. And, you know, it's really, you get to, and some of you may have done this too, you get the puzzle all together, and there's one piece missing. Anybody ever done that? Yeah. Huh? We did, and we finally found that piece. But, you know, it doesn't look right with that piece missing. And, you know, life is like a puzzle. It works better when there is no piece missing. P-E-A-C-E, not P-I-C-E-S. P-I-E-C-E, I mean, excuse me. You know, peace. Peace. Turn to your neighbor and say, peace. You know, the Word of God says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, sometimes people don't have peace because God's missing out of their life. Here in this scripture, may the God of peace. Here, God is called peace. The God of peace is interested in us. He wants us to spiritually, emotionally, physically, he wants us to be at peace. He's working to preserve you until the coming of Jesus. You know, you might say he's working to preserve you until Jesus comes. Now, one of the meanings of the word preserve in the Greek is to guard from loss or injury by keeping an eye upon. You know, there is a scripture that talks about that the eye of the Lord is searching to and fro. Anybody ever read that scripture over in the Old Testament? You could say that the God of peace will guard you from loss or injury, and he keeps his eye on you all the time. You know, when you have kids, smaller children, and you let them out in the front yard to play, you got to keep an eye on them. Until, you know, because when they're small, they don't know any better than to run out in the street. You know, sometimes you let your dog out to do his business, and you got to keep an eye on him so that he don't take off running and chasing Fergie, our, I guess. She got it for her, but it's as much mine as is hers. Now, our poodle, Fergie, a standard poodle. Now, she loves to hunt squirrels. When we go outside, I let her outside. First thing she does is start looking in the trees, looking for squirrels. And if she catches one on the ground, she'll chase it. And she almost caught one the other day. She's really fast. So I have to keep an eye on her that she don't take off. Because if she gets after one of those squirrels, it don't matter whether it's the neighbor's yard or where it is, she's gone after that squirrel. And when it goes up a tree, she'll be there at the bottom of the tree, and I have to go get her and bring her back to the... So, you know, you have to keep your eye... Well, God has to keep his eye on us. He keeps his eye on us. What for? For protection. And Jesus is the peace that God sent to the world for us. The prophet looked into the future and saw that in Isaiah 9:7. Isaiah 9:7. And this is the time of year we're celebrating him. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Yes. Yes, amen.
Prince of Peace. I want you to notice out of all the names, the last one is Prince of Peace. Now, if you've ever taken a speech course or homiletics and all that we take in school to learn how to preach, they tell you some of the most important things you will say is the last few words that you say, and especially the last words. And the last words here that the prophet Isaiah said, Prince of Peace,
amen.
Jesus. Now, in Luke 2:14, when Jesus was born, the angels proclaim, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Peace toward men. Paul declared in Ephesians 2:14, Christ himself is our peace. There is no peace without Christ. Jesus is the peace. Now, C.S. Lewis said this in his book, God cannot give us a happiness and a peace apart from himself because it is not there. There is no such thing. There is no such thing as peace without God. Now, outside of Jesus, all other peace, if you have any, is temporary. But with Jesus, peace is permanent. You see, some Christians have Christ on the perimeter of their life, and they wonder why they have no peace. If you're going to have peace, then the Prince of Peace has to be the central focus of your life. It has to be the center of your life. There's a song we sing, Jesus be the center of my life. You know, there's some people that they don't have any peace because he's not their focal point. There is no lasting peace without Jesus.
Amen.
Dwight L. Moody, now for you who don't know who Dwight Moody was, he was a great preacher of yesteryear. He said, a great many people are trying to make peace, but that's already been done. God has not left it for us to do. All we have to do is to enter into it. It's possible to have peace in troubled times. John 14:27. Now go there. I want everybody to go there because if you don't have it marked, you need to mark it. John 14:27. This is Jesus talking. And who was Jesus? The Prince of Peace, right? Now, this is what he says. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, trouble, let your heart be troubled here. It can mean burdened down, afflicted, pressure. Trouble and pressure may be all around us, but it does not have to be in us. We can have peace when trouble and pressure is all around us. Come on now. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. So, and he tells her, don't let her heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid because I've given you peace. You see, if we're troubled, then we're agitated, we're stirred up, we're uneasy. And he's telling us not to be. He said, I give you my peace.
Yes, amen.
You know, as of course we sing sometimes, or used to, I don't know, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Anybody ever sang that song, that chorus? Sweep over my soul, I pray, in infinitous billows of love. See, God wants to give us peace that nobody else can understand. He wants to give us peace in the middle of the storm. Now, you remember a story in the Word? I'm going to read it here from Matthew 8:23. Now, when he got in the boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Then the disciples came to him and awoke him and saying, Lord, save us, we're perishing. I want you to notice that he said to him, why are you so fearful, oh, you little faith? Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. I want you to notice that Jesus was asleep in the middle of the storm. Why? He's the Prince of Peace. He had peace in the middle of the storm. You know, Jesus had peace within himself. Therefore, he could command the circumstances around him to change. You can too. Thomas Watson said this, If God be our God, he will give us peace in trouble. When there is a storm without, he will make peace within. The world can create trouble in peace, but God can create peace in trouble. That's a good statement. I'm going to say it again. The world can create trouble in peace, but God can create peace in trouble. That's a good statement. That's a refrigerator statement. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Any of y'all ever put little signs so you can read them? That's a good place, because how many times a day do you open a refrigerator? A lot of times. When you're hungry, when you're thirsty. Now, I want to show you what this peace is like, this peace of God, from Peter in Acts 12:6. Acts 12:6. Now I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, fastened with two chains between two soldiers. The other guards stood at the prison gate. Here, Peter had been arrested. He knew that he was facing a trial the next day in which they would probably sentence him to death. And he's chained. It says here, he was asleep, fastened to two chains between two soldiers. In other words, this guy over here and this guy over there had him fastened. And then the soldiers were standing guard at the gate, and he went to sleep. Now, most people wouldn't have been sleeping. They would have been trying to call an all-night prayer meeting. And I ain't ever figured out, I've never figured out yet why people won't call an all-night prayer meeting. It's not how long you pray. It's not the quantity of time. It's the quality. You know, we need to learn to pray and then thank God for it. That's what the Bible says. We pray and then we thank God. I mean, some people, I think they think if you pray long enough and hard enough, then God will do it. No, that doesn't got anything to do with it. It's praying and believing. Come on now. Most people have been in Peter's situation going to go pieces. What did he do? He went to sleep. He had peace. He had peace with God. Now, Alexander McLaren says, peace comes not from the absence of trouble, but from the presence of God. When you have peace, you have the presence of God with you. Now, the peace we're talking about is beyond human reasoning. God promised us his peace. He provided us his peace when he gave us Jesus, in which we're celebrating his birth during this season in the next few weeks. He promised it. We read there where Isaiah the prophet talked about it. We read where the angels announced peace on earth, goodwill to men. There it was provided. What is left for us to do? To possess it. See, you can have something, or somebody can tell you that, but until you possess it, it doesn't do you any good. The bank could call you and tell you that somebody left you, has put in your bank account a bunch of money, and you could literally die of malnutrition, starve to death, and yet you have money over here. It does you no good until you draw on it. Peace has been sent. Jesus Christ is the peace. He is the Prince of Peace. So, we've got to draw on that. How many understand where I'm, is anybody getting anything out of this?
Amen.
Now, I want to look at some ways to possess this peace that I'm talking about. Number one, by loving God's word and make it number one in your life. Psalms 119, 165. Go there. Psalms 119, 165. Get it on your iPad. Get it on your smartphone. Get it in your real Bible. Whatever. I got an iPad over there. I got a whole bunch of translations. I got them on my phone right here. All right. Look at this. Great peace have those who love your law, or love the word of God, we could say. Nothing causes them to stumble. See, if you love God, you're going to love the word of God. Loving God's word allows peace to come in your heart. Now, I want you to notice this. Great peace, not just peace, great peace have those who love the word of God. Now, you don't love the word of God if you're just reading a little bit, you read a verse every once in a while. You love the word of God by reading every day some portion of the word. Come on. But I want you to zero in on great peace, okay? Now, number two, by renewing your mind with the word of God. Isaiah 26:3. This is another scripture on peace that you need to have. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Look here. You will keep him. That is talking about God. In perfect peace. Now you got great peace by loving the word. You got perfect peace when you keep your mind stayed on the word of God. On God. See, the more your mind is on what God says, the less you have to worry about the situation with. When you meditate on God's word, it's difficult for the enemy to be bombarding your mind. All right. Now, okay, get that. Great peace, perfect peace. Okay? That's great, isn't it? I mean, man, that's why all of us are like that. Now, number three. Through casting your care on God in prayer is another way to obtain the peace I'm talking about. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we come to God in prayer and cast our cares and our burdens on him. And then we have the peace of God. So now we got great peace, we got perfect peace, now we got the peace of God coming. Hello, come on now. Now, number four, through listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak out here. Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit on the inside, right? How many of you have ever heard that before? Yeah, that still small voice. Colossians 3:15. Colossians 3:15. Now let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule. Great peace, perfect peace, the peace of God. And now it says, and let the peace of God rule. See, it can all be there, but if you're not letting it rule, if you're letting circumstances rule, then you're in turmoil and you're upset and agitated. It says, let the peace of God rule. That comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit on the inside. See, the Holy Spirit on the inside will be talking to you and telling you some things, and you got to listen to the Spirit of God. All right? Now, number five, you can't be around other people who are not walking in peace. I don't care if they're Christians. You know, there's some Christians that are, and Paul addressed this in his letter to the Corinthians about the busybodies. They're always going around stirring up trouble and this, that, and the other. And in fact, when Paul, if you read in Acts 9:28-31 there, you'll find that as he was with them in Jerusalem, coming in and out, in and going out, he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. And when the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him to Tarsus. Then the churches throughout all the Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. Now, this was in the early stages of Paul. He was a little more boisterous than he was in later life. And what had happened, he was probably young in the Lord here, and he was arguing very boldly against the Hellenistics. And so they got Paul away. And when they did, then the church had peace, because they couldn't have any peace because of everything that's being stirred up. And also, they were afraid that Paul was going to get killed. You know, some people you're going to have to just let go of. You can't afford to be around them. You know, there's some people that you just, oh no. Craig had a friend in high school, and he would come over to the house, and it got to be a joke with all of us, his sister, my daughter, and me, and Lynette, even Craig, because there was nothing that you could talk about that you had done or some of your family had done that he hadn't done better than that. I mean, it was ridiculous. If you said you jumped off the Empire State Building, well, he jumped off of Mount Everest. I mean, that's the way it was, you know, and. It got so bad sometimes, if you saw him coming, you said, oh no, here comes, here he comes. Anybody ever know anybody like that? Or somebody that every time you see him, you don't ask them how they are. Because an hour later, they still telling you all the stuff. See, You can't have peace being around that all the time. You got to get away from that. Pull away. Get away from the crowd. Come on now. You know, some people are so aggressive and intense and dramatic that it's hard to have a sense of peace around them. You ever said about somebody, man, oh, it's just drama every time they're around. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. Well, it is. It's hard to be peaceful. It's hard to keep your own self peaceful. Some people, you're just going to have to go another direction. Come on now. Anybody getting anything out of this? Did you get those five things down there? Because I want us to get a hold of the fact, what do we have? We have great peace, perfect peace, peace of God. Then what was next? Let the peace of God rule. And then listen to the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. He'll keep you in peace. You know. All right. You know, let me close this up real quick because it's 7 o'clock right now. And I try to hit it right on the nail. You know, after you've been doing this a number of years, you learn how to do that. When you're younger in the ministry, you sometimes don't learn how to, you sometimes don't do it as much. I've even noticed Craig's getting a whole lot better at it. Anybody here notice that? Yeah. Now, there was once a king, and he offered a prize to an artist that would paint the best picture of peace. You know, many artists brought their pictures, and he looked at all of them, and finally he narrowed it down to two that he really liked. And he had to choose one of them. One picture was a beautiful, calm lake, and it was so still that it was reflecting the mountains and the clouds like a mirror. You ever been in on a lake and seen that happen? Yeah, it does. And all who saw it, man, they thought, oh, man, look at that. That is a real picture of peace. Surely he would pick that one. Now, the other picture, these are the two, had the mountains, but they were rugged and bare. And there was an angry sky above it. And the rain was falling and the lightning was flashing. And there was a tremendous amount of water tumbling down the mountainside. And it didn't look peaceful at all. But he chose that one. He chose that picture. And everybody said, man, why did he choose that picture? And the king said, this is why I chose this picture. He said, look at that water rushing down. Look at all of the disturbance that's going on. Now look behind. There's a crevice in the rock. And there's a bush. And there's a bird sitting there with its young, you know. And it's peaceful. That's peace. He said, you know, peace is not, doesn't mean to be in a place where there's no noise or trouble or hard work. Peace means to be in the midst of all those things and still be calm in your heart. That little bird was sitting there in the midst of all of the stuff, but yet it was peaceful. See, tonight I want you to know that you can experience God's peace wherever, whenever you need it. God promised his peace. God provided his peace. It's up to us to possess that peace. Amen. You know, this is not the time to be fearful. It's a time to be content with the peace of God. And let the peace of God rule no matter what is going on. No matter what's happening, no matter the situation, good, bad, ugly, or indifferent, let the peace of God rule. I trust you got something out of this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that each one would take whatever portion of these words that I said tonight that they need for their life, and may they take them and use them and adjust their life so that they can live in peace with in the world as they live. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. His head bowed, eyes closed. Is there anybody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ? You can't have peace until you know Jesus. Or you need to rededicate your life. You know, you can't have peace unless you know Jesus Christ. A lot of people know Christ in early ages sometimes, but then they get away and they need to rededicate. Anybody like that around here? Anybody? Also, we believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit around here. You know, it says in Acts chapter 2, I'm not talking about church creed or doctrine, I'm talking about the Bible. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues, the Spirit gave them utterance. Anybody like to be filled with the Spirit? Anybody? Let me see your hand. I want to pray for you and with you. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right, everybody stand, please. Amen and amen. If anybody would like prayer for healing, we'll be glad to pray for you right now. If we have anybody who wants to be prayed for healing, come down to the front right now. We'll lay hands on you. Bible says they lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Doesn't it? Amen. So we're going to pray for Pam right now.
Well, I had oral surgery on Monday.
Yeah.
That's supposed to have been hurting like 3 days ago.
Okay. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. This pain will go from this and this jaw in Jesus' name. Complete healing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. I think we had a first-time guest come in. And where's our first-time guest? Oh, you're going to take it? Okay, you take care of that, Greg. Praise the Lord. You're the one that she came in late. Hey, give our first-time guest a glad hand. We're glad to have you with us. We're here every Sunday night at 6 o'clock. Jane, you want to go there with them? You can go because you help take care of that usually. We're here every Sunday night at 6 o'clock. We say enjoy the weekend and come and enjoy Sunday morning on Sunday night at 6 o'clock around here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, hey, next Sunday night we'll be right here. All right. Hey, don't forget Wednesday night if you got a computer, you know nowadays if you got those, what is it, HMI cables or whatever, you can hook HDMI, you can hook your computer right to your TV and see it. So you want to hear Rami. He told us things that was really, really interesting. Because he could give it to us from the Jewish background history, because he was raised there, but he could also bring the Bible into it, and it was very, very interesting. I don't know exactly what all he'll say or what he's going to do, but I know one thing: I really enjoyed him on the trip, and some of the people that Joe and Amy Dunick went there. He's in charge of our missions. He was there. He's in looking for you. John and Michelle Grunewald, who's over our Europe and Africa, all of our Bible schools. They were on the trip, and they're looking forward to him being there. So if you can tune in on it, please do that. Okay. Hey, God bless everybody. Hey, live in peace. Don't let the enemy steal your peace. Okay. God bless. We'll see you next Sunday.